Wednesday at Connect FM. This is back by popular demand.
And you want to do an hour of power. Can't put the same song over and over again, Lon.
I'd be like, well, we're going to play GNR again. All right, it's the Tay and Jay Show. My bad. 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. I'm Lon Tay. And Jeremy Warner is alongside.
Hey.
And we've got Howard Griffith from the Big Ten Network coming up. He's going to join us in about 5 minutes or so, and we're going to chat a lot about Illinois and Ohio State. Illinois playing Ohio State, Jeremy. What do you think right now? Is your gut telling you yes?
It's the right time.
Okay.
I mean, if you want Ohio State coming
exactly
in.
Fire me up.
If you want Ohio State coming into Memorial Stadium and you want to get a win, this is about the right time because Illinois is clicking. They're confident right now. Ohio State, meanwhile, they just blew a big one to Nebraska. I mean, they were looking really good and looked like Ohio State again. And then Braxton Miller goes out of the game, and what do you know? You know, Joe Bowserman comes in, and he might not even be the number two quarterback right now. He might be the third guy on that depth chart, just not good. But Ohio State, this was an interesting note. 0-2 in the Big Ten for just the second time since 1993.
Holy cow.
And they've lost back-to-back games for the first time in 88 games. That was 2004. That snapped the nation's longest winning streak, or longest streak without consecutive losses.
So how good are you? When's the last time they lost three straight games?
I have no idea.
I'm like, if you know that,
the last time I think they lost more. I think they lost four games about 3 years ago.
They
went about 8-4. That was a really down year. I mean, they're 500 right now. I mean, how often do you say that about Ohio State?
No, not very often. What's interesting about this is that, and Illinois fans know this, Illinois has always played Ohio State well. And it's kind of a weird stat to hear that Illinois hasn't beaten Ohio State at home since Howard Griffin. So maybe they didn't win a lot of those games. It's always a competitive game.
And that might be because, I mean, Ohio State's such a running team, a defensive team.
Right.
And that's what you're going to get on Saturday. I mean, yes, they're down, especially skill players. They get Dan Heron back, the running back. Braxton Miller, the freshman, kind of has a hurt ankle, but he's a dynamic threat, but he's still a freshman, makes mistakes. But they don't have Devier Posey, whose suspension for all this tattoo stuff is he's 10 games now suspended. So the skill position's kind of lacking a little bit, but right now, their offensive line is still fantastic. And Vic Koning talks about that all the time. Their defensive line is fantastic. Ron Zook talked about, you got to put on the big boy pants this week because they're going to come at you, and this is going to be a physical game. And that's what you got to expect. It's going to be a physical game. Illinois played a lot of spread teams lately. So this is finally going to be a time where they're going to be tested. That offensive line,
yes.
Can they get the push up front? Can this defensive line hold up against these guys?
Well, I know somebody that will know better than you and I. Even though, Jeremy, you know your stuff, I'm just here for the glamour side of it. You're here for the nuts and bolts. How about Howard Griffith? That guy knows his stuff. Howard Griffith from the Big Ten Network, former Illini, joins us here on the Tay and Jay Show. Howard, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, guys. How about you all?
I'm doing wonderful. I appreciate you joining us. I know this is your second effort on the Tay and Jay Show, and I know the first time you were on had a lot of comments about you coming to join us, so we appreciate it. And let's start out with, you know, I know this is a big game coming up Saturday, but let's just talk about your alma mater for a second. 6-0 out of the gates. That's got to make you feel proud.
Well, absolutely it does. I mean, they're playing outstanding in really all phases of the game, and I think it's a credit to what Coach Zook has been able to do along with these coordinators to really get all of these guys playing at a high level. And I think that, you know, for all that has gone wrong in previous years with Illinois football, for Illinois to stay with Coach Zook and make some of the decisions, because he's still working hard getting the players in as far as the recruits are concerned. And this year, we're really seeing that, because anytime you lose a Montez Wilson and a Corey Legit off of defense, and then you believe that and you're better the following year, you know, that says a lot about the players that you have in the pipeline there at Illinois.
Howard, what's the most impressive thing about this team right now?
I think it has to be Nathan Fieldhouse. I think anytime you have a quarterback that can beat you with his legs and with his arm, I think you go back to last year, one of the main reasons he was able to win the job last year is because they thought he could get him out of bad plays if they got into him, and that's, you know, with his legs. So the next step was, could he make the jump to beat teams with his arm? And he's shown that he can do that. I mean, look at the numbers that he's put up over the last couple of weeks. He's really turned into being a well-rounded quarterback that you really don't know what Illinois is going to do first and 10. They really put you in a tough box. Are you going to try to load the box to try to force them to throw the ball? Well, if you do that and you end up with some one-on-one coverage outside, Jenkins out there, I mean, there's trouble. So they've got some players that are truly putting up some numbers and playing at a high level right now.
We're talking with Howard Griffith from the Big Ten Network, of course, a former Illini. And Howard, you went against a lot of good defenses. Surprising how good Illinois' defense is, at least to most people. What makes them tough when you look at them on film? What would make it tough for you as a running back to go against these guys?
Well, I think one of the things you look at immediately is the disruption that they have in the backfield. And I think any time for a running game, no matter what type of style you're going against, whether it's an option game or whether it's a straight drop back type of quarterback, when you have defensive linemen and ends that can get into the backfield, that can disrupt the pass protection and also the running lane, it causes problems because if all of a sudden one of the defensive linemen gets a yard, 2 yards into the backfield and that back has to bounce the ball or do something that he's not accustomed to doing on a particular play, that advantage goes to the defense. And they're being really active right now, so that front seven is, like I said, playing at a high level and really being disruptive. And I think that's one of the biggest things. They're being disruptive at the point of attack.
Ohio State 3-3. It almost sounds odd. Coming off, Howard, a terrible loss to Nebraska when they had the big lead. What is that going to do to their mental psyche coming into this one?
Well, I think you look at it's just not the tough loss that they just had to Nebraska, giving up the amount of points and that comeback victory for Nebraska. But I go back 2 weeks to Michigan State, whose defense really had not shown any signs of being dominant. Yes, they put up some numbers early, but those were the directional schools, whether it was Toledo or Akron. They put those numbers up against them, I'm sorry, Michigan State, but Youngstown and Florida Atlantic. But they came out and had 9 sacks against Ohio State, I thought that was, one of the toughest and lowest times at the Ohio State program because they have an outstanding center in Brewster, and I understand their left tackle was out in Adams, but they still could not stop the attack up front. And Michigan State wasn't bringing, an extra guy or something like that. They were bringing a 4- and a 5-man rush, and Gerald Worthy was really having his way with that defensive line. And they just played outstanding. So I think this is an Ohio State team that's struggling 2 weeks in a row. And now Braxton Miller, whether or not he's going to be 100% or not for this Illinois game, remains to be seen. But if they don't have him in there and all they have is Bowserman, who's more of a quarterback that's going to be a stationary target, they're going to be in trouble and have to find another way to try to manufacture some offense for them to have some success in that game.
T&J Show, Jeremy Warner, Lon Tate, talking with Howard Griffith, Big Ten Network, and former Illini. And Howard, what have you thought of Luke Fickell's performance so far at Ohio State? A tough situation that he entered going into this year, the Jim Tressel and all the scandal and missing players. What have you thought about how he's handled everything so far?
Well, it's been tough, and it's one of those situations that you're never prepared for. Unfortunately for Luke Fickell, he's making his head coaching debut on the big stage, which is at Ohio State. So all the mistakes that he may make or he has made or will make into the future are being magnified because of it's at Ohio State. It's not at Toledo or Middle Tennessee State where he can have an opportunity to grow. I think when you're a defensive coordinator and you take on the head coaching role, there are a lot of things that you're not unaccustomed to, whether that's managing the clock, whether that's the tempo of the offense or when you should take timeouts. There's so many elements that he now all of a sudden finds himself having to make these decisions with and really doesn't have a lot of direction or places to turn. Sure, he has a veteran coaching staff that he relies upon to make decisions, but he hasn't been groomed to be in that seat. And it's lonely when you're in that seat right now. It was great during the offseason. I mean, when you didn't have the turmoil going on, and you're that new coach sitting in that seat. But when you have so many issues to be concerned with off the field and on the field, the team's not playing as well, you're kind of searching for some answers. And I think this is going to be a work in progress for Luke Fickell for the entire year. He's going to find out a lot about not only himself but the people around him. I think he's an outstanding coach. He's one of the coaches that really stood out to me of all the coaches in the Big Ten when I'm talking about assistants when we would go there and watch him work, how engaged he was, how the players really reacted. I think that's why he was tapped to be the interim coach. But he was tapped to be the interim coach before all of this other stuff came out and they found out he was going to be the guy for the entire year, thinking that Tressel was going to be back. Now, he's an outstanding coach, but it's a very difficult situation he finds himself in. But he's just trying to do the best job he can right now.
And I'd imagine, Howard, if they were 5-1, his job would be a little bit easier. But you're 3-3. These players might know that you might be a lame duck as that head coach. How hard is it for him right now to keep those troops upbeat and keep going and see that they still have something to accomplish?
Well, I'll say this. One thing that I think that Luke really, one of his attributes that he has, and again, I think this is why he was tapped as the interim coach, not for the entire year, but for that time when they thought Tressel was going to be coming back, because he connects so well with the players on that football team. I don't believe that these guys are going to throw in the towel no matter what the situation is because of who Luke Fickell is. I think they're still trying to play as hard as they can for him because they know that, I mean, he was with us. He's one of ours. He's one of our guys. We really respected him when he was, the position coach.
Sure.
And they understand how difficult the situation is for him. So I don't think it's a situation where he's going to lose the team. I don't believe that. I think they're going to have too much pride for that. He'll find a way to get the best out of them as far as that's concerned. But it's no question. It's going to continue to be a tough year if they can't figure out what they want to do from an offensive standpoint. And I think that's where it all boils down to. If they could line up in the eye and play power football and be able to do that consistently on a regular basis, I think that would help the progress of one Braxton Miller. I don't think it helps you with Bowserman because if he's forced to throw the ball, we've seen how that's worked out. It hasn't worked out very well for him. But they just have to find a way to have some good things happen for this organization.
Wrapping up with some guy that scored 8 touchdowns against my Salukis. I tell you what. No, Howard Griffith, of course, from the Big Ten Network, our last question, we're getting off the Ohio State-Illinois game. How stinking good is Wisconsin? Wow.
Illinois is going to find out here pretty soon.
Right.
But this is really, really a good team right now. Everybody's talking about, what Russell Wilson is playing, how at a high level he's playing right now, finds himself in the middle of this Heisman race, and he has to continue to play well. But, I think one of the things that people aren't talking a lot about, and they're not talking a lot about Monty Ball right now, and he's playing unbelievable. When you talk about the numbers that he has put up from the tailback position as far as yards and scoring touchdowns, it's really phenomenal. But I think it's being overshadowed right now by what Russell Wilson is doing and the perception of how good this offensive line. Everyone wants to give credit to this offensive line, which they should. But when you look at what Monty Ball and James White are doing in that running game, that's still what this offense is about. Because if they can't run the ball the way they're running it, Russell Wilson doesn't put up the numbers he is
exactly.
In a play-action game. And also Nick Thune, he's healthy and he's playing very well, and that's going to be a big player for him when they get to Illinois on November 5th.
Howard Griffith, keep up the great work on the Big Ten Network. It's nice flipping that on and seeing an Illini sitting up on that studio set. So great job, Howard, and we can't thank you enough. Thank you for joining us here on the Tay and Jay Show.
Hey, it was fun. Let's not make it be so long. I mean, in between, can I get on the show every now and then?
Well, now I'm going to have to bother you even more, Howard. So you brought it on yourself.
Okay, let's talk Illinois football.
It's that Saluki hatred. Howard, thanks, buddy.
All right, guys, take care.
All right, that is Howard Griffith from the Big Ten Network, the former Illini, and what a great guy.
Now we're going to have to bother his people.
See, people are clamoring now to get on the Tay and Jay Show. Maybe not.
We'll see.
It is the Tay and Jay Show, 93.5, 95.3.
Connect FM.